Breaking news.
And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago. Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
You listen to The Expressway with VT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. We're on every single week talking about NFL football on the NFL8podcast.com.
Get it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Expressway. I'm Charles Way, former New York Giant running back and graduate of the University of Virginia. My partner, the VT Express, Billy Taylor, also a former New York Giant running back, are here with you today to talk some New York football and the most exciting stories in the world of sports. And we're going to do this in an entire game. That's right. We're going to take you through four quarters to get you caught up on this past weekend's games. Who are the breakout players you should be looking out for? And something close to me, the impact of the Virginia shooting had on their program and the sports world. But last but not least, we're going to actually take a look at the Giants Commanders game this weekend. BT, I'm excited to be back with you. It's been about 22 years since we shared the airwaves from the Crab Shanty in Mamaroneck. How's it going?
Everything is outstanding. It's good to see you, Charles. And we've been talking about doing this for a long time, so it's just like it's just perfect timing. But the great thing about it is, the Giants are having their best year and probably since 2016, because, you know, I got season tickets and nobody wanted my tickets because the Giants have been, they were 1-7 and 2-6. And so I'm just really happy that they're playing good ball and that the good thing about it is that they're in almost just every game they play. And I think it's a tribute to their coaching style.
I agree. It reminds me of that Jim Fossil's first year, 1997. Yep. We didn't have a great offense. I mean, Danny Cannell was the quarterback. Dave Brown started out the season as the quarterback. And really, it was our defense that really kind of kept us in every game and allowed us to be where we were. And I think I see some of the same similarities in this team. It's like, as long as the offense doesn't lose the game, they have a chance to win every game.
And I remember Jim Fossil because I was covering the Giants at that time. The former New York Giant head coach, he said he's bringing all the chips to the middle of the table, and he kind of put himself out there. And then that year, which was 2000, the Giants went to the Super Bowl. How did you like playing for Jim Fossil?
Oh, it was great. I mean, he was one of my favorite coaches outside of Tom Coughlin. Actually, all the coaches I played for, I enjoyed. I enjoyed Dan Reeves, who was great. He gave me an opportunity. Obviously, he drafted me. But loved him, and Jim gave me a chance to run the ball, and he put me on the map as one of the premier fullbacks in the NFL. So I loved him. And then, what can I say about Coach Coughlin? We all helped win two Super Bowls, right? Had a great team, great coaching staff, and I can't say much more than that. But I mean, he's probably at the top of my list, Coach Coughlin is.
Well, what's incredible for me is looking at Brian Daboll, the coach of the New York Giants, came from Buffalo. And I like coaches that make an adjustment during the course of a game, because if you're hitting your head against the wall, I've always thought, move your head. And the thing about it is that I see a lot of teams that don't make adjustments. And every half, when the Giants played this year, the Giants are 7-4, coming off a 28-20 loss to the Dallas Cowboys, but they're both tied at 7-4. I just thought that that if the Giants, you know, cannot make mistakes and not turn the ball over. They have a chance in every game they play. But what I like about Brian Daboll is that he's teaching people. And if you've ever had somebody teach you at whatever level you are, then it makes a difference during the course of the games.
It does. You know, the one thing I see and I saw last couple of weeks, you know, from the previous week when they lost to the past week, they lost to the Cowboys. I think they were better prepared. I think the difference between the week before and their game against the Cowboys was that, you know, they learned from the previous week against the Lions. They did a lot more play action pass. They didn't try to continue running the ball. They used it to set up their pass, and it opened up the offense a lot more. It gave Daniel Jones a lot more room to throw the ball, especially given Dallas's pass rush, right? I think that if
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Because people now are putting 8 men in a box and are gearing up to stop Saquon Barkley, use that to your advantage and give Daniel Jones the tools to be successful. And I think that's what Daboll and Kafka did this past weekend.
Yeah, and I like it, even though, you know, my problem though, Charles, is that, you know, even though I went to Texas Tech University and I grew up in Texas, I really can't stand the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, it makes me so mad when they win a game. But what's something for me is that, and the reason, and I'll just be straight up with it, he got rid of one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game, Tom Landry. I'm talking about the owner of the Cowboys, Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, when he brought in Jimmy Johnson, he thought he could coach. I mean, he thought Jerry Jones could coach. And then Jimmy Johnson left. He brought in Barry Switzer, and they won the Super Bowl. And he thinks, well, anybody could coach the team. And that was 25 years ago. He acted like the Cowboys are the best, you know, America's team, but they have not been America's team in over 25 years. And so I really, you know, he's the only owner that comes on and does his own radio show and tries to give his critique on the game. He thinks he's the general manager, but there's other people who you hire for that kind of stuff. And, you know, I hope that this year is, you know, the Cowboys go down like they usually do in some kind of weird way, because, you know, they always make the mistakes that allow them to lose games as we get toward the playoffs.
You know, that's always been the greatest question for all NFC East teams. Who are your arch enemies in the division? Like, who is the worst from the least, right? Being in New York, obviously Dallas, Philly, which one of the two? And I guess it depends on who's better at the time, but Dallas kind of always hangs around no matter how good or how bad they are. You just want to keep putting the foot on their neck, right? It's funny to me, like growing up in Philly, loving the Eagles and not liking the Giants, but now loving the Giants and hating the Eagles, right? And the Cowboys is still the most hated team in my life, right? So it's one of those things that any fan of any NFC East team has to deal with. Just to say, you're listening to the Expressway, the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. I think when we look back at this last game, like I said, the offense had a better showing, right? Given all of the injuries, given the people that have been out, lack of skill position players at the wide receiver position, at the tight end position to some extent, they did a great job. And given a patchwork offensive line, you know, Evan Neal wasn't in the game. Feliciano wasn't there. And hopefully they're coming back this week. But you can see how they game plan for their personnel. And that's what I like about this staff.
Well, it was a tough situation for the Giants because they went in there with some of the top injuries from some of their top players. But what I like about their coaching staff is that he says next man up. And if you think about it, if you're a professional athlete, you should be able to, you know, when your chance comes, be ready for it to show what you can do. And that's what he's given other people on the team, because anytime there's an injury, it's a time for somebody to step up. And and he's evaluating a lot this year, and he's got a chance to really evaluate some great players. What's really incredible for me, Charles, is that the Giants sent out a list of, I think, about 8 or 9 players that he thought would be Pro Bowl material for this year. And just want to get your thoughts on some of them, because number one, they were talking about Julian Love, you know, and see, my thought process is that if you were from another country and you came to New Jersey to watch the Giants, who would stand out on that team to make you think they're Pro Bowl? Is it Andrew Thomas, left tackle, or Dory Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Danny Jones, Dexter Lawrence, Xavier McKinney, or Graham Gainwell, their punter? Tell me who you think on that list is worthy of all pro, because anytime you're 7-2, which the Giants were a couple weeks ago, people think about, well, possibly some of your people might deserve some recognition.
You know, I obviously, the first name that comes to mind, since he's played a critical role in a lot of their wins, is Graham Gano, the kicker, right? Yep. Kicking 40, 50, 60 yarders, you know, that not only win games, but to keep them in games.
Consistently,
and so,
yep.
And so he would probably be the top of the list. I think Saquon, and like I said before, it has to deal with the offensive line not being intact, being part of that problem of him not gaining the type of yards that we expect him to gain. And that's another story. I can go into the running game a little bit later, because I have issues with why not. And you see a lot of teams going back to old school football, the pro style, having a fullback. Because if you look at the way the football game in general, in college and pro now, you have safeties playing linebacker now, right? And so if you have safeties playing linebacker, that's set up for you to have a rough and tumble, smash mouth type of game now. Put the fullback in the game. You can open up holes. Once you get past the D lines, because most D lines are stacked, so once you get past the D line, you should have a field day going after the linebackers in the secondary. And that's what is, I think, leading to the success of the 49ers and Garoppolo. Look at Garoppolo. He went from a trash quarterback that they were looking to give away, and now he's an all-star MVP candidate in the league because of what they're doing out there in San Francisco. So you tell me, what am I missing?
Well, see, I've always been a little upset with some of the other people who talk about, well, we don't need a fullback, we don't need a running back. I think, and it's just my own opinion, that running back is one of the most gifted athletes on any team. You look at Saquon Barkley, the problem they had with him in the beginning, he couldn't pick up the safety blitz. Now he's doing that. He's a complete ball player. He can run, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's probably the reason the Giants are 7-4. And I just think that running backs are so misunderstood and not given the proper credit that they deserve. I mean, they talk about, you know, the pay being down for running backs because Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers is the leading money maker for the NFL. And Saquon Barkley's contract is coming up. And do you think he's worthy all pro? I think the kid does extremely well under the circumstances where he doesn't know from week to week who his offensive line is.
That's right. And if you look at just this next coming offseason running back free agents, I mean, it's a list of who's who in the running back field, right? And so for me, it's like, given all of these great running backs out there who will be free agents next year, you know, will it be hard for Saquon to get paid the amount of money he truly deserves? Being a running back, I'm jealous. Like, they've always discounted the position because they always, I mean, general managers always think that they can find the next biggest thing in college, right? So unless, I don't think they value that position as much as they once did because they don't feel as though it's being used as much. But I think you got Henry from Tennessee, you got Pollard and from Dallas, right? And you got the kid that's in Detroit that's killing it, right? So, yep. And let's not talk about the Jets. They got two great running backs playing, but I think we can leave that for towards the end of the of the fourth quarter. We can kind of, I can get on my soapbox again and share my disgruntledness about the running back position. But just wanted to say, you're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. That's it for the first quarter, but we'll be right back with the second quarter. And who are the players you should be looking out for this weekend?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway. My name is Billy Taylor, the BT Express, and Charles Show Me the Way. And Charles is the one who came up with the name, the Expressway. I really like it because we really have two running backs that that are similar in their thought process. And Charles and I have been talking for years about doing some stuff together. So the Expressway, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different subjects during the course of the year. And this second quarter, we're talking about the power rating in the NFL. And the Giants are 7-4. They're tied with the Cowboys. The Eagles are 10-1. And a lot of people don't know for sure if the Eagles are legitimate. But when I watched them, Charles, and I know that you have too, they got a team on both sides of the ball. And whoever comes out of the NFC East has to be disrupting somebody's momentum. Charles, did you hear me?
I did. I'm sorry about that. I think when you look at the overall power rankings in the NFL, obviously number one are the Eagles. I mean, that's a complete team from offense to defense. I think their special teams are a little bit suspect given their past few performances, and I think they're looking to address that. But from an offense defensive standpoint, Philly is the head of the class in the entire NFL, not just NFC East, but the entire NFL. I think when you go through the pecking order of the NFC East, number two, San Francisco is coming on strong. And for the reasons I gave in the last segment, I think they're letting the run dictate the pass. And you kind of see some of that old San Francisco 49er, you know, football where they're going to run the ball, throw slants and make the big plays, right? And they're putting Garoppolo in positions to succeed, and that's what I love about what San Francisco is doing. What do you think?
Well, see, I love when San Francisco beat Dallas last year, and I really thought that the Cowboys got out coast in that game. But I like what they're doing now, and even with McCaffrey, they got so many weapons. And the thing about it, you as a quarterback, we're talking about a quarterback of the 49ers. All you have to be is a point guard and get it to the person at the right time. If you do that and don't turn the ball over, I think you got a good chance. But as you say, I looked at Philly's quarterback, and I'm telling you, he might be the MVP this year because he does exactly what he's supposed to do. He makes good decisions in the pocket. He runs the ball extremely well. And I think the running quarterback in the NFL is here to stay. There might not be many long for Tom Brady, the quarterback for Green Bay, he still has a little bit of agility, but I think he's a little bit, I don't know if timid's the word, but he's not going to stand there and take a beating. And I don't, you know, he looks like the kind of quarterback that doesn't even lift weights, you know, because I thought a quarterback should always lift weights because you're going to take a hit once in a while. So I think the new age quarterback is one that runs the ball. Because you look at even Danny Jones of the Giants, you know, he's got more speed than a lot of people think. And then the coach is getting him outside and inside and teaming with Saquon Barkley. And really, their offense has shown me something that can be dealt with.
Yeah, I think when you look at the new age quarterback, you have to be mobile. You have to be able to keep plays alive when there aren't any receivers open because of the nature of the passing game now and how teams are geared to stop the passing game. And I think that's what I see out of Hurts, is that he's been able to refine his game. He's been able to do what Lamar Jackson hasn't done up to this point, is he's become a pocket passer when he has to be a pocket passer, and he can be a runner when he has to be a runner. And he kills you. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers, really, when he was younger. And when we played against him, because we would have the best defense. Everybody would be covered. Two-man, everybody's covered. And he just all of a sudden says, okay, I'm going to run it because you don't have anybody covering me. And he would keep plays alive. He would keep drives alive. And those types of situations and those types of plays are just backbreaking to your defense. When you think you got a third and eight and third or 12, and all of a sudden you got everybody covering, like there's no place for me to go. And all of a sudden he just breaks the pocket, breaks contain, and runs for a first down. That's demoralizing, not only to your defense, but to your offense, because they're thinking that they're about to get back on the field, and it's hard. So when you have a quarterback like that, I think it's a plus. It's an added advantage to your team. And I think it helps the motivation of your team, knowing that you're in every game, no matter what the score is. And I think that's what's missing with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has yet, that I've seen in the last few weeks, to be the type of pocket passer that Hurts has become.
I totally agree with you. But what's really something for me is that when defenses go in man, when they cover everybody with one man and they try to maybe double a couple, that means that some of the defensive backs are turning their back to the quarterback because they're playing man. And if a guy has a skill to be able to run the ball like Jalen Hurts does, they can gain big yardage, you know, on first and third down. And I really believe that the defenses are behind the offenses when it comes to having a running quarterback. And I think you got a running quarterback who can still look downfield when he's rolling out or getting away from the rush, and still be able to find some people. Because even Geno Smith in Seattle has shocked me by what great play he's had. Remember, he was with the Jets and the Giants, and he didn't show me anything but great size. So I think the quarterback has transformed the game. They're transforming the money, and they're taking all the money, Charles Way.
Hey, you're absolutely right. You're listening to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Teller, and Charles Show Me the Way. You know, that's why running backs can't get any money. Because the quarterbacks are making $50 to $100 million a year now, right? I mean, what's the next biggest contract? And you know, that's what Lamar Jackson is holding, praying for, is to get that big payday. And I don't know if, I know he bet on himself this year, but I don't know if it was a wise bet when you got $30 million on the table. I think, you know, at some point you got to look in the mirror and realize how good you really are. And, you know, as players, we always overvalue who we are. And that's when your agent comes along and say, hey, this is a darn good deal. You better take it. But like you said, I think the quarterback position is being changed, and guys that you don't think would be great pro quarterbacks are now becoming great. Because who would have thought Jalen Hurts, after his time in Alabama, think about this, Alabama benched in Alabama for Tua and then transfers to Oklahoma and still doesn't have a great season at Oklahoma. And now he could be the leading candidate to be MVP of the NFL. Go figure. You tell me.
And he got drafted in the second round. And that's pretty incredible. My problem with Lamar Jackson is that, you know, he doesn't have an agent. And I, you know, people say, well, why do you need an agent? Agent is one who takes all the negative when they start to throw bad things at you. And I think that it's getting in the way of his play a little bit. Because, you know, you have to be thinking about it. If they're offering you a whole bunch of money, you got to be thinking about it. And so I think that it's interfering with his play, and I think that he's not having a great season like I thought he would. And I like people to bet on themselves; they do. But you know, him and his mother are his agents, and I think that they're maybe they don't understand the entire game of what's going on. So I'm a little concerned with that. But I think the next great quarterback is the Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts. But you know, Minnesota Vikings are 9-2, but a lot of people don't think they're very good. You know, because they got blown out by the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. Do you think Cousins is worthy of them being 9-2, or do you think, you know, they'll show the way that he's not truly worth whatever he's getting?
You know what? Before the Dallas game and before them getting blown out, I thought they were probably the second best team in the NFC East. And like I said, the question mark that I'll always have is Kirk Cousins. Can he win the big games? Against Dallas was a big game, and he didn't deliver. And I think in the playoffs, as you've seen the last two seasons with the Vikings, he hasn't been able to deliver. So for me, he has to answer that one question. Are you able to take your team to the next level and win the big games? And until he does that, they can't be in the discussion. And he hasn't, and to this day, he still has not proven that he can win the big game. I think the quarterback that's surprising me, though, is Tua. I mean, man, did you expect this out of somebody that could barely throw a 20-yard out last year? And he's running the team. I don't know if his arm has gotten any stronger or he still probably can't throw the 20-yard out, but he is running the team like he's supposed to. And he is making Miami my surprise team of this year. What do you think?
I definitely have to agree with you on that point, Charles. But the thing about it is that the Miami Dolphins organization has surrounded him with outstanding talent. I mean, from the skill position players, they have the kind of talent that you, from a defensive standpoint, I don't think you can stop them. I mean, when Tua's on, he's on. Then they're really averaging over 30-something points a game. My only problem is that he's kind of fragile, and I don't know how to explain that because, you know, at any moment he could go down. And so that's my problem with him, because a quarterback sometimes has got to stand in there and take the hit, even though they don't take the hits that they used to take. He's got to stand in there and deliver that ball even with taking the hit. And I know that situation with the concussion situation a couple weeks back, I don't know how far that set him back, but I think you're going to have to say Miami is here to stay because they surround themselves with a good running back, good wide receivers, good tight end. And if their defense is any kind of, good, they got a chance to probably go to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I think that's my one concern with Miami is their defense. I don't know if they're real or if am I looking at a figment of my imagination, because I don't really think they played anyone yet. And you know, teams have, you know, you can stereotype a team. Like, you know, Baltimore will always have a great defense no matter what, right? You can and Miami will always have a decent offense but a terrible defense, right? So I'm still waiting for Miami to show me that they have a defensive powerhouse that could lead them to that next level and make them contenders and handle the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And until I see that, then I'm still not a believer yet. How about you?
Well, they beat the Bills. Am I correct? They beat the Bills a couple weeks ago. And I know the Bills have been in a slump for a second or two, but why don't you take us to the break, Charles, and then we come back. We're going to talk about some really good stuff about your alma mater and tell them what we're talking about, Charles.
Yeah, you're listening to the BT Express, the Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. Yeah, you know, our next segment, we're going to talk about the impact the Virginia shooting had on the university and the program and what the next steps are for them to recover. More from our sponsors.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles. Show me the way. This has been a rough past few weeks for me, especially graduating from the Virginia and having to deal with the past few weeks with the shooting incident at the University of Virginia, with the three football players being killed, another player being shot, and how it impacted not only the football program, but the players on the team, the university, and how difficult it was just to go on, to go through an entire day without thinking of, you know, the families, the players. I think when I've talked to former players or former teammates and even staff, we've all felt the same emotion. I think all of us cried, and we may not have had the same type of relationship as that coaching staff or those players have, but it feels like you lost an extended family after hearing that. It's especially close to me because my daughter goes to the university. I was on the phone when the incident was transpiring, trying to comfort her and console her, saying that she's going to be all right. So it was tough being almost 300 something miles away from her and not being able to be close to her and protect her as a parent would want to be. So I think the last funeral for Lavelle Davis, the receiver that was shot, is today. They had a memorial service last week, which was healing not only to the team but the students, but healing to everybody involved. I think it was a way to kind of share everyone's experience with those players and just heal and just to kind of move on, because now after today we have to move on. We have to kind of figure out what's next. How are we going to kind of move the program in the direction that we wanted to go? And I think that's going to be the next step for this program, is where do we go from here? How do we continue to grow? How do we use these three players as examples of what this program should be and build off of a legacy that they've created with the program and move forward? And so, Billy, it's just for me, being inside and being close to it, it's kind of hard for me to think like that, but that's a real question. You know, you got the entire ACC's trying to get better, trying to compete, given you got the Big Ten and SEC with these two mega TV deals, and now the AC and the Pac-10 are in some kind of limbo, and all of these schools are trying to improve so that they can get on the same level playing field as the SEC and Big Ten. But how do you do that? How do you tell recruits that it's great to come here. We're still an up and coming program, and especially given what's transpired, convince them that UVA is still a great place to play.
Well, Charles Way, my prayers are with you and your daughter and your family and the University of Virginia, because you know anytime you have something like that, it really just scares people. But do you think that they targeted athletes because you had two wide receivers, I think a linebacker, is that right? Or a running back, I don't remember which one, but I've never seen it in the past, and we've had almost something all the time. Did they target athletes? If that's true, are they going to have to do something about that? Because athletes are out in front of their whole school all the time. They're the ones that people know about the most, even if you're going to that school as a recruit. You're looking at the athletic department to see what they bring to the table. But do you think they cited athletes, football players in particular?
Yeah, well, the story is, and like I said, they have kind of withheld a lot of the information because it's still an ongoing investigation and they don't want to give too much away. But it was a former player, a former walk-on, who wasn't on the team at the time and hadn't been on the team for 3 years and just had some emotional issues. And what I'm hearing is just that he had a mental break and had a gun and thought that he can take out his aggression on these football players. Fortunately, two other football players, I know one other football player who was on the bus wasn't injured. And I still feel for him because think about the other individuals on the bus, right? Knowing how close they came to death and they were spared, right? So emotionally, mentally, that's tough, and that's going to be a challenging, and I hope that they are getting the necessary help that they need in order to kind of move forward and to kind of continue to live their lives the way they should be living their lives. But it's hard. It's hard knowing all of that and knowing that another player, you know, another family member took their lives.
Well, this is scary because it happens too often, and I don't want to get into politics or nothing like that, but I just think there's something they got to be able to do, because you're talking about almost every week or every other week, something is happening in that form, and I don't know why somebody wants to hurt somebody else and then take their own life afterwards. You know, so I definitely don't understand it, but how is your daughter doing at the University of Virginia, and how often do you talk to her about it?
You know, it's one of those things where I, as much as being in player development, and we've had number of different classes and sessions and courses on mental health and how to deal with trauma and how to deal with tragedy, it was a whole new ballgame because it was a family member. I was able to pull from a lot of the knowledge that I gained from being the player development director with the Giants and learning how the grieving process, each individual person deals with the grieving process differently. And I tried to give her space, but also let her know that I was there for her if she needed to talk or if she needed someone to listen to just what she's going through. But I think the Thanksgiving break came around the right time. The university made sure that the students had the space, even though there was about a week prior to Thanksgiving break, the university made a point to make sure that they had the necessary resources for the students and players to access whenever they needed it, because you never know when a person is ready to talk. They could be ready to talk at 3 a.m. And so they had the necessary resources available for them at 24 hours a day. But having the break when they did, I think was actually a healing, a chance to get away from the university, to leave the environment, and just to be around family or friends. If those individuals had the opportunity to be around family or friends, I think was very healing and very comforting. And I know my daughter is still very concerned about her friends who are on the football team, who are on that bus. And how they're doing. And I think as a friend and as anyone, I think we all should be concerned, because that's important. Being in a traumatic experience and dealing with trauma, I've never been through a situation like that. So I can't imagine how someone would cope with a situation like that. But I know it has to be tough, because the little minuscule situations that I've been through, and they've been somewhat traumatic, has been tough to deal with. And you always go back to those situations and scenes and think about what you could have done differently. And so I can only imagine what they're thinking about right now.
You're listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor, the BT Express, former New York Giant running back, and Charles Show Me the Way. And Charles is the one who came up with the name The Expressway because of the BT Express and his last name, Way. So we call it The Expressway. We're on every single week talking the world of sports. Our concentration is on the New York Giants. Today we're talking first quarter. We talked about the Giants and their loss to the Cowboys. Second quarter, we talked about the NFL standings and the power ratings. And here in the third quarter, as we break this down, Charles went to the University of Virginia, and they had a big shooting with some of the football players getting shot at that. His daughter was there. And the question I have for you, Charles, what kind of improvement did they make, or did they use this as a way, as a tool to kind of make things better, or to be a little bit more, aware of what's going on?
I think that's still a work in progress. I think right now, it's really providing the necessary resources for the family members that were impacted, making sure that they have the resources that they need to get through this tough time. I couldn't imagine losing a son at such a young age. When you look at the obituary for the three men, I mean, they were born in 2002, right? And so just to see how young these men were who lost their lives, it would be tough on any parent, right? And so I think what the university's main goal is to make sure that the families that were impacted, the player that was injured, has the necessary resources to deal with the situations that they're in, making sure the players on the team have the necessary resources to kind of keep moving forward, make sure the university has the necessary resources to do the things that they need to do. But for me now, moving on, you know, now that we've grieved, right? And we're still grieving. How do we move the program forward? How does a program like Virginia move on from this so that they can, next year when they go on the field, not only, you know, like I said, highlight these three players, never forget what these three players did for the program, but move on, utilizing those three players as a gateway to what this program could be and should be. And that's going to be the tough part.
All right, take us to the break, Charles.
Yeah, so you're listening to the BT Express with Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. That was a tough third quarter for me, but the Expressway will be back to take a look at the upcoming Giants opponent, the Commanders, right after a word from our sponsors.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And we're back. We call it the Expressway. I'm Billy Terry, the BT Express, along with Charles Show Me the Way, and we call it the Expressway. We're on every week for about an hour talking about New York Giants football and the NFL around. We've gone through three quarters so far. This is our fourth quarter. And when the Giants take on the Washington Commanders this week, the Commanders are 7-5, Giants are 7-4, and the entire NFC East is really looking like they might be one of the best conferences around. And this has got to be shocking a lot of people, because I know last year people talked about how bad the conference was, but for some reason, every team has improved. Washington with a quarterback named Heineken, who really has stepped up in place of Wentz. And I think that, you know, every time they play, I think they beat them the last four times, the Commanders have beat the Giants. But this week is going to be a tough game because, you know, the Giants have lost three in a row. And it's really time to step it up as we come down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge game. I think they're getting both of their pass rushers back this week, right? So I'm kind of concerned about the Washington's defense. But at the same time, the Giants are getting their offensive line, hopefully, back. Evan Neal should be back, hopefully, this week. He had a great day of full pads yesterday. And hopefully they could, you know, do what they need to do to keep that defensive line, those two DNs off of Daniel Jones. But if they, like I said, I think the formula for the offensive side of the ball is play action, pass, run, stay on schedule. Don't get in third and long, stay on third and short. And we'll have a chance to win this game. I don't know. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I don't think any of the Giants games this year will ever be a blowout given the way they play. But the only way they'll have a chance to win is no turnovers. Special teams has to play a flawless game. And defense just has to hold up. And that's the other thing, Billy, is that, you know, Washington's offense with Heineke at the quarterback has been off the charts lately. I mean,
yep.
Dallas couldn't stop them. You know, the Eagles couldn't stop them. And all he's doing is making the right read and making the accurate passes. And I think they have an excellent game plan. They're letting their running game dictate their passing game, and they're not putting Heineke in bad situations. And that's what's leading to their success.
And I think what's happening also is that, and we talked about it in the beginning, bringing eight men up front. And that means you have seven blockers, and they bring either extra linebacker or extra defensive back up to the side of it so that you're really going against eight people and seven guys. So it's kind of hard to block it. I've seen it blocked before, but it's kind of a difficult situation. And it puts the illness on Danny Jones. And I've liked the way they've used him because he's not really a drop back passer. I like him rolling out to his right, to his left. I like him running the ball to his right, to his left. And I think that he's really come on strong. But these last couple games, he's shown me, Charles Way, a little bit of inaccuracy. They went on 4th-and-4 against the Cowboys. And if he puts the ball out ahead of Saquon Barkley, I think Barkley gets the first down, but he threw it behind him. And I think that hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not – I don't think he's a top-flight quarterback yet. The jury is still out. This is still his fourth season with the Giants. And so I think there's still room for improvement. I always, when we talk about Daniel Jones, you have to talk about Josh Allen, because Josh Allen's first 2 years was the same thing. They didn't put the ball in his hands the first 2 years, and he wasn't that great of a quarterback the first 2 years, and all they did was run the ball and had a great defense, and that's why they were as good as they were. And so people forget that about Josh Allen. Josh Allen became Josh Allen because he had a breakout game in the playoffs, right, against the Chiefs, where he went toe-to-toe with the greatest quarterback in our era, right, and Patrick Mahomes. And so that's what kind of elevated Josh Allen to cult status, because if you saw him the first 3 years outside of that, you would be like, who is this guy, right? Somebody just took over his body and made him a great quarterback all of a sudden. So I think I'm not ready to close the book on Daniel Jones because I see what has become of Josh Allen. And I think Daniel Jones always shows kind of glimpses of there is a good quarterback in that body. It just needs to be more consistent.
Well, I think Brian Daboll has done an outstanding job with him because he's put him in situations where he can be successful. And as far as the former Buffalo quarterback, Josh Allen, I think he's, you know, he's what we were talking about earlier, but the prototypical quarterback now that can run and throw. As a matter of fact, he's about 6'5", over 250 pounds, and the defensive backs don't want to tackle him. He comes out there, and he's not sliding. You know how quarterbacks slide and they try to go away? He's trying to run people over. And I, from a defensive back standpoint, I think I'd be wary of trying to tackle him. So, you know, if Danny Jones, my only fault with Danny Jones is he doesn't slide very much. And he didn't play baseball, you can tell, because otherwise he wouldn't know how to slide. That's so right. I think he if he can get better at that and keep himself out of injury situations, I think that, you know, he's got a chance for the Giants to do something. I just don't want them, they're 7-4 now, lost 3 in a row. I don't want them to go down anymore. They got to at least win a couple more games, get in that playoff chase, and then still try to show levels of improvement.
Well, you mentioned in the first quarter that how Fossil pushed all the chips to the middle of the table and said, this is it, you know, we're going to the playoffs. I think that's what this moment is. They've lost, what, three straight games, right? And so this is the time where everybody has to be bought in, and these are critical games. You have to beat the Commanders this week. If you don't beat the Commanders, it's going to be the schedule isn't easy. They still got to play Minnesota and Philly twice, right?
And Washington one more time.
So there aren't any cupcakes left on the schedule that you can count as W's from here on out. So they got to play flawless football from here on out just to get a chance, give them an opportunity to make it to the playoffs. And Washington is that team that always starts off poorly but finds a way to win 8 straight and be in the mix every year, right?
And their defensive lineman, his name is Chase. He's coming back, and he's playing better ball. I think that, you know, the game is going to be tight, but I think the Giants, if they cannot make mistakes and Danny Jones cannot turn the ball over, the only thing I worry about is that Saquon looked like he's a little bit tired, Charles. I mean, he carried the ball a couple weeks ago 35 times. Then last week, before the loss to the Cowboys, he had something like 15 carries, 18 yards, and then last week, the Cowboys pretty much stopped him because they took a big lead. So I don't know. You know, you can't kill Saquon because he's really all they got, but they got to be able to run the ball to keep Heineken's team, his offense, off the field because they've been putting points on the board.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, you have to be able to have runs that are good against 8 men in a box, but also lean on your play-action pass. They expect you to run. When I actually had a conversation with John Fox when he was here, and he said the best thing any offense can do is play action pass because it puts your defense in a bad out of position every time because they are playing the run. And so that's how you open up the running game as you play action pass. Everybody knows that the only way you're going to win is to give the ball to Saquon Barkley. So let's use that and set up the run by establishing the pass. And then get him back in rhythm, and because right now there aren't any holes for him, right? He doesn't have a lead backer, and he's counting on a makeshift line. The last 2 weeks were makeshift lines; didn't have his original starting offensive line with him, and so hopefully this weekend, now that Feliciano is coming back, maybe they can get some continuity there and get him going again.
And I kind of feel bad for Saquon because, you know, to have this kind of pressure on your shoulders coming down the stretch when you know you've been the main mail carrier for your team all year, you need some other people to step up. But from the wide receiver standpoint, I don't understand Kenny Golladay because, you know, this guy comes in here as a high-priced free agent, has not caught a touchdown pass this year. He's over 6'3", and I watched him because I was trying to figure out what is his problem. And what I discovered, Charles Way, is he does not run a good route. The guy for the Los Angeles Rams who got hurt.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Coupling or something, I can't remember exactly his name, a wide receiver. He runs one of the best routes that I have seen. And say, I think that you cannot just go out there and strong arm somebody like Michael Irvin used to do when you're running a route. You got to be able to set them up. You got to be able to move, use head movement so you can get them, the defensive back, going the other way. The defense knows. They don't know where you're going. So utilize that. And so I don't know what to think about Kenny Golladay because he has a guaranteed contract and is guaranteed for one more year after this year. And I think that he's been a disappointment thus far.
He has been. But just as a reminder, you're listening to the Expressway, the BT Express, Billy Teller, and with Charles and Charles, Show Me the Way. I think Kenny Golladay is one of those old school type of receivers that has not caught up with the times because DBs are a lot better, a lot stronger.
Absolutely.
And if you can't get off a line, you just got to do more than just muscle your way up off the field because now you're going against, that was back in the day when DBs didn't like to lift weights, right? DBs now like to lift weights. And so they're just as strong as you are at the receiver position. So one of the things for him is that I don't think he's a technician. When I watch him play, you don't see him running crisp routes, right? Nope. You don't see him breaking out of routes crisply, coming downhill, coming back to the ball, right? And I think his focus, and maybe because of all the stuff that's been going on around him, has been waning a little bit. And that's why he misses a lot of the balls that are thrown to him. So I think that's why all of these practice squad players are playing before him because they're hungry and they're doing what the quarterback and the scheme is telling them, asking them to do instead of freelancing like I think Kenny Golladay does.
Well, see, I think you got to have separation. You know where you're going, and you know you got pretty good speed, and you should be able to set up the defensive back. And I think for so long, I watched the quarterback of Detroit, now the quarterback of the LA Rams, put the ball almost exactly on the money for him. About 3 years ago, 2019, he led the NFL in touchdowns with something like 18 or 19. And he didn't have separation then. And I thought, why are the Giants getting him? And I thought maybe they're going to teach him how to separate from the defensive back. But he still runs and acts the same as he did when he was in Detroit. He's not giving the quarterback room to maneuver and to throw the ball in there. You know, you see nowadays the quarterback's accuracy is so important in the NFL. And for you to not give him more room for error, I think it's your fault as a wide receiver. I think wide receiver, and you know yourself, is probably one of the more artful positions in the NFL because you can be creative, you know, you can do different things. And for him not to utilize that with a great coaching staff, I'm a little bit disenchanted.
Well, I want to tell all of our future GMs out there, after a player is in the league for 4 years, and he thinks he's at the top of his game or one of the best at his position, don't think that that guy wants to improve. It takes a special guy that's always willing to learn, and not too many guys in the NFL that are in their fifth year are eager to learn something new. And like I said, what you see is what you get most of the time with free agents, and what you see is what you got from Kenny Golladay. He wasn't that great at Detroit. He had a great season. And he had a great quarterback putting the passes where they needed to be. But the things you look for in great receivers, he wasn't Tyreek Hill. He wasn't a speed blazer. He wasn't crisp. He didn't make people miss all the time. And so those were the red flags that I think I saw when I saw Kenny Golladay and when they made that signing, is that, you know, hopefully, I mean, we can get that out of him, but I wasn't as optimistic as a lot of people were when we signed him. But speaking of skill guys, how come, and it hurts me and pains me to say this, is that when you look at the Jets, they have a better defense right now than the Giants, and at the skill position, have better running backs, wide receivers, and need I say tight end than the Giants.
No, so they're
am I wrong?
No, you're right, and you got to call a spade a spade. The Jets' defense look like they are playoff material. They look like they can get to the playoffs at any time. They're playing that swarm defense, and you know sometimes bend, sometimes not breaking. And their offense, all they need is a quarterback to not to take what the defense gives you. And what I mean by that is simply, if there's a check down to the running back or tight end, take it. Don't ever throw in double coverage. And I just get mad sometimes when I see Zach Wilson do it. And I think the way that they sat him down this week and let White go in and play well, I think it shows that Jets may have to be dealt with come playoff time.
I think that if I was in the AFC, I would be very scared of the Jets, because if they can get their act together and they don't put Wilson back in there and keep White as a quarterback, they have a chance to really do some damage coming here and really ruin some teams' dreams of making the playoffs. Because I would be scared. If I was anybody, I would be scared, because those wide receivers that they have legit wide receivers. I'm talking about they have speed and they have length. So they can beat you in multiple ways, and they have a running game, and they have a running back that can take it to the house at any time. So all of those things put together, and the Jets are a very, very scary team.
I totally agree with you, and I think that the coach is only in his second year is being able to show why he was one of the better defensive coaches in San Francisco. The Jets beat the Bills earlier in the year, and that was one of the top teams in the NFL. I still think that the Kansas City is one of the teams to beat in the AFC, and it's going to be tough for anybody to go into Kansas City and win. So I just look, if the Jets make the playoffs, it's the first time in probably 9 or 10 years that they have, and that would be super for the New York area for both teams to have a chance for the playoffs as we come down the stretch. And it should be a lot of fun for New Yorkers, because it's something that we haven't seen in quite some time. But, even though we're kind of arch rivals, I want the Jets to win. And I want any team in New York to do well, as long as they're not playing against the Giants.
Absolutely. And this week will be a test for both teams, right? Jets are playing the Vikings. And we said, this is a big game for the Vikings. We wanted to know if they're for real, and we will learn a lot about both of these teams coming out of this Sunday's game, because the Jets have a very formidable defense. And let's see if Kirk Cousins can be, the guy that takes the Vikings to the next level against this defense. And let's see if Mike White's game last week wasn't a dream, and it was real, and see if he can do what he did last week against a great Viking defense.
Well, the year before, he did it against Cincinnati. Came in, did a good job, and maybe he got conceited, maybe he got overwhelmed, but he didn't play as well as later on. Last week, he played extremely well, and I think that he showed the people that maybe he should be considered. A lot of people thought that the coach should name him as the starting quarterback now, but I think you have to do it on a week-to-week basis, and you got to be consistent. You got to know what you're having from week to week. And if the Jets can do that, then they're going to be dealt with, because their defense is mean. Even you and me as a former running back, we kind of hate to play against the Jets, because they're coming after you, and you might be sore after that game, Charles Way.
Yeah, you're right. But like I said, I'm looking forward to that matchup, because it'll answer a lot of the questions we had on this show today about both of those teams. I think the next game that I think is another litmus test is are the Eagles for real? And will they have a letdown versus the Titans? Titans can go after the Eagles' weakness. I don't think they're very good in the run game, and that's what the Titans do, right? And so I'll want to know how the Titans stack up versus the Eagles' run defense, because that's the Eagles. If Eagles have a weakness, it's their run defense on defense. And I think the Titans have a chance to exploit that. And I'm curious to see how they they manage that game. So I'm keeping an eye on that game just to see where the Eagles are and see if they can be the juggernauts that we all believe they are.
There's a lot of good games going on in the NFL. We always bring this down the stretch in the fourth quarter. The Bills are at the Pats. The Rams and the Seahawks, the Chiefs and the Bengals. Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year by beating the Chiefs. And see, can the Chiefs step it up on the road against the Bengals? You know, the Bengals are their quarterback Burrow is looking really good now. And that's going to be a lot of good games every week. Once you get to this standpoint, every week, you come down the stretch and every game is meaningful. That's what's so good about the NFL.
Yeah, I do. And I, Billy, I just want to say this was a great first show. I appreciate it. You know, and I need to thank all of you for listening to us. It's been great. Justin, I would appreciate you for being our engineer in the back and making sure everything runs smoothly.
And Ben also.
Go ahead.
Thank Ben also.
Yeah, and Ben for doing the things that you do and making us look good. But I can't wait to be back here next week to break down a Giants win against the Commanders. And, hey, let's see what happens this week as we move on and help you travel down the expressway. Take it, Billy T.
Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to check us out next week. I want to thank everybody for helping us out. And don't forget, the expressway. Thanks for listening, everybody. You've been listening to The Expressway with BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me The Way. And we're on the NFL 8 podcast each and every week. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.